Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the TerraJam Radio Network.
In your face.
We're online. 24-7.
24-7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
D-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockies. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications.
Welcome to VOCR, Spy Gazette Live. Riding shotgun tonight is, of course, Hugh Mack. We'll be talking to Hugh in just a few moments. And tonight, we continue to scan the news, make comments, discuss. And if you, our listener, are so inclined, we shall take your call for debate, discussion, or dispute.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
We'll give you 1 minute to settle in, and then we'll be back with tonight's session and, of course, Hugh Mack.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. We are VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Do you think that you are targeted based upon your political beliefs, your religious beliefs, or just because you chose to apply?
Our beliefs, our views.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight, and co-host Hugh Mack.
And good evening, everyone. Glad you could tune in tonight. It is Tuesday, June the 10th, 2014. 2100 hours in Calgary, 2100 hours in LA, and 2300 in New York City, and 0500 in London, England. It is 11 degrees Celsius, which is about, 54, 55 degrees Fahrenheit for our imperial friends. Hugh is away tonight. We do have lots to get through, so let's set up the studio board, open up the lines, and phone lines will be open throughout the show.
Information supplied by tonight's guest or host remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraJet Network or its affiliates. If you wish to respond to a statement, we invite you to call the show live at 347-324-3287 or email vocr2012@gmail.com. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
Look, John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, the three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good old smoking Joe Biden. Always easy to get a good laugh out of. And to think that he's one heartbeat away from the presidency. That's kind of scary, don't you think? Special shout-outs tonight to the Scottish lass. Hope things are improving and you're doing well. The BC Dreamcatcher, road trip weather, I think. And the Southeast Brickies, much better half. Glad you could tune in. Hope you are well. And special sugar plum kisses for you know who. Tonight, we had planned on discussing further a recent taping we did with Gerard Williams and his new book, Grey Wolf, The Escape of Hitler. However, with you away, we shall reschedule that show for another time, because I do want to use input. The show can be heard in its entirety as it stands in our archives. Just look for Grey Wolf, The Escape of Hitler. It's a pretty interesting show. You know, as I read and watch the news lately, something very strange seems to be happening in our world. Kids are shooting kids, and police are being shot in ambushes, and schools and malls being targeted by whatever appears to be random events. Today, in Moncton, Canada, thousands of police officers and Mounties from all over Canada gathered in Moncton on Tuesday to honor the fallen comrades, three Mounties assassinated by a lone shooter, and the alleged shooter was captured alive and will stand trial probably after a psych evaluation. As we go to air tonight, another school shooting, this time in Portland, Oregon. The shooter committed suicide. One student is dead and a teacher injured, but alive. I'm sure we'll be hearing much, much more from that later on as more information is brought forward. But do me a favor, tonight or tomorrow, check in with your kids. Make sure they're okay. Give them a hug. Love them. Maybe take time to send a note of thanks to their teacher for keeping them safe. Be involved in your kids' security on all levels of life. It's very, very important. Stay engaged with your children. Don't give it up. Well, Calgary is currently in the process of transforming from a major city to a frontier town as the annual Calgary Stampede takes place July the 4th to the 13th. It is the greatest outdoor show on earth. And remember, what happens at the Stampede stays at the Stampede. When we return, we'll talk about Gitmo.
But I'll repeat what I said 2 days ago. We have a basic principle. We do not leave anybody wearing the American uniform behind.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night and decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Statements he, the president, has consistently made clear that the executive branch must have the flexibility to act swiftly in conducting negotiations with foreign countries regarding the circumstances of detainee transfers if necessary.
I want fuel-efficient cars and long-lasting batteries and winter turbines manufactured here in China.
No one disputes that President Obama inherited a difficult situation. And in his first 2 years, with his party in complete control of Washington, he passed nearly every item on his agenda. But that didn't make things better. In fact, we find ourselves in a nation facing debt, doubt, and despair. This is the worst economic recovery in 70 years. Unemployment has been above 8% for more than 3 years.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rocket.
So after President Barack Obama orders and facilitates the release of five dangerous Gitmo prisoners, for an alleged U.S. deserter, I may add, so many questions have been raised about the prisoner swap. And as we air, the Obama gang are spinning as fast as possible that Obama may not have given the direct order. It may have been Chuck Hagel. Clearly, the Teflon president is in deep trouble. Some are saying impeachment, while others demand criminal actions against individuals within the Obama machine. And some wish for imprisonment of the president after a protracted legal court battle. So, questions raised. Have the administration panic mode in full force? Questions coming out of the woodwork are, when was Gitmo advised of the release? Where is the paperwork? When was Air Wing advised of prisoner transfer to the Middle East? and when were special forces ordered to perform the swap? Dates, times, places, and responsibilities. All of that paperwork should be in military orders. Each one of those orders must be given in writing, maybe by email, old telex, MILCOM, and chain of command. Nothing moves in the military without paper orders. So why was the Congress not advised at the same time as the key departments that facilitated this transfer of Guantanamo inmates? Did Obama break the law? Could it be considered treason to give back to them some of their major Al-Qaeda generals so they can strategize freely and eventually go back into the war arena after 1 year of being good children in Qatar? And how willing are Qatar to monitor these people as tightly as we would want? Or are we going to have a shadow force monitoring them for a year? Or are they just the cheese to bait the trap for the mouse? Are they just unknown listening posts? Are they on the payroll? Should the American military deserter, alleged deserter, be charged for desertion? Now remember, 6 soldiers died searching for him. So what is the legal status of this alleged deserter? Was he a collaborator? Did he give military tactical information to the enemy? Statements made by the family, and also the statements made by the enemy regarding the swap. Were Obama's actions illegal? All of these questions that are now being brought to the front, and unfortunately or fortunately, mainstream media are having a very difficult time hiding from these questions. And slowly, carefully, in a very slow, awkward turn, mainstream media are starting to realize that President Obama cannot walk on water. Some are even claiming that this could be a worse crisis than Nixon and Watergate. Unfortunately, there are very few reporters of the magnitude that would be required to investigate anything even close to Watergate. We have heard all of the talk and all of the chat. We understand the spy game and the counter-spy game. We understand the political pulling and tugging through our governments, throughout the Western world. One side won't tell the other side because they don't like what the other side does to the other one side, and it goes on and on. Like a schoolyard of bullies, not knowing who to thump first. The rules are quite clear that Congress must be advised prior to any movement on Guantanamo prisoners. They weren't. This is a major, major problem for the Obama administration. The sad thing about it is that by the time everything is sorted out, you can bet your sweet bippy that more problems will bury those problems.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on BlogTalkRadio.com in association with Spy Gazette and the TerrorChat Radio Network.
But I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you can't answer these questions, then I'll leave you to draw whatever conclusion you want to draw about whether or not the media has provided sufficient oversight. Can you tell me why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi the night that he was killed? Do you know? Does it bother you whether or not you know why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi? Do you know why we were the last flag flying in Benghazi after the British had left and the Red Cross had been bombed? Do you know why requests for additional security were denied? Do you know why an ambassador asking for more security days and weeks before he was murdered, and those requests went unheeded? Do you know the answer to why those requests went unheeded? Do you know why no assets were deployed during the siege? And I've heard the explanation, which defies logic, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten there in time, but you know they didn't know when it was going to end. So how can you possibly cite that as an excuse? Do you know whether the president called any of our allies and said, can you help? We have men under attack. Can you answer that? Do any of you know why Susan Rice was picked? The Secretary of State did not go. She says she doesn't like Sunday talk shows. That's the only media venue she does not like, if that's true. Why was Susan Rice on the 5 Sunday talk show? Do you know the origin of this mythology that it was spawned as a spontaneous reaction to a video? Do you know where that started? Do you know how we got from no evidence of that to that being the official position of the administration? In conclusion, Congress is supposed to provide oversight. The voters are supposed to provide oversight. And you are supposed to provide oversight. That's why you have special liberties, and that's why you have special protections. I am not surprised that the President of the United States called this a phony scam. I'm not surprised that Secretary Clinton asked, what difference does it make? I'm not even surprised that Jay Carney said Benghazi happened a long time ago. I'm just surprised at how many people bought it.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
We are, I am, here to speak truth about a painful chapter in our history and to seek reconciliation with all of those who have been harmed.
It basically, a plan to create 1 million new jobs. I'm talking about good jobs with improved take-home pay over the next 8 years. How do I do that? Get taxes down to encourage investment, get government spending under control, starting with an across-board wage freeze, make energy affordable, do more in the skilled trades, and more trade opportunities, put Ontario products on the shelves across our country and other nations.
I believe in tackling challenges head on. And one thing I have heard everywhere is that people want infrastructure tended to. They want highways widened. They want their bridges fixed. I'm very pleased to announce that we have a plan to fund our 10-year vision. It's called Moving Ontario Forward. And over the next decade, we plan to make nearly $29 billion available for transit and transportation infrastructure across the province.
I see young people who might have their degree or diploma from university or college. They're still home with mom and dad, or those families struggling to buy a part-time job. We have no choice. So let's get taxes down, energy under control, get government spending under control, and let's actually surge this province forward. I'm confident we can do it over 8 years.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets.
Ah, yes, the Ontario election. As Ontario election campaign enters its home stretch, Tim Hudak, progressive conservative leader, is predicting the Liberals will resort to scare tactics against him and his party in a bid to sway voters. And sure enough, while making a campaign stop in Mississauga, Premier Kathleen Wynne, the Liberal, tried to strike several fearful notes in a message tailored to NDP-friendly voters, warning that Hudak would be dangerous for Ontario. She said, if Tim Hudak has half a chance, he's going to destroy so much of what we have built up over the decades. Many believe the only thing Liberals have really built up is debt and cronyism, with dabblings of corruption and theft. Ontario are financially on the ropes. There are very few options to recover, and Wynne remains in denial of the gas plant or the Liberal corruption, while Hudak explains the bitter pills to help Ontario recover, and is accused, by the way, of being the bogeyman. Trade unions, of course, are threatening doom and gloom if Liberals are not returned to power, but the truth is the unions realize their eventful fate, and recent information just may make unions do an about-face. The Liberal leader has campaigned as the savior of public sector jobs, promising the public sector will be just as big 4 years from now if she was elected. But a Bloomberg report from last week found that Wynne's budget could mean the biggest public service cuts since the time of Mike Harris in Ontario. Typical politics, little substance, lots of accusations, but the facts are that the Liberal provincial government has screwed up too many projects and have had several long-term decisions which do not take citizens of Ontario into account. Utility bills are soaring by hundreds of dollars each month. Employment is collapsing, and industry, what's left of it, is closing their doors and moving to friendlier provinces. The cost of living in Ontario continues to climb, while earning power and disposable income dry up. Many new and old friends are originally from Ontario. They speak of their province fondly, the Cottage District, the Great Lakes region, but when asked about their political views, they soundly blame the Liberal provincial government and the many mistakes made by a socialist policy, which was rammed down the throats of hardworking people whose only liberal transgression was to try and make a comfortable living.
Because every day we are seeing more and more efforts to strip away our Second Amendment rights. And our founders knew that our inherent right to defend life and property and freedom, it had to be enshrined. It was enshrined in America's most perfect blueprint to form a more perfect union. Of course, our Constitution. So it was enshrined. And they knew that if the Second Amendment goes, the rest of the Constitution is not far behind.
I think it's inexcusable that you did not know about this and that you did not read these cables. I would think by anybody's estimation, Libya has to have been one of the hottest of hot spots around the world. Not to know of the request for securities really, I think, cost these people their lives. Their lives could have been saved had someone been more available, had someone been aware of these things, more on top of the job. And the thing is I don't suspect you of bad motives. I don't think you were willfully. I don't suspect your motives of wanting to serve your country. But it was a failure of leadership not to be involved. It was a failure of leadership not to know these things. And so I think it is good that you're accepting responsibility because no one else is.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call.
The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
347-324-3287.
So, June the 12th, Ontario electorates decide the fate of Ontario. And those who have put their trust in the people shall be elected into the Ontario Provincial Legislature. Now, Friday the 13th may have a new ominous designation. Several polls suggest that Liberals and Hudak's PCs are in a statistical dead heat. And winning over some of the NDP's traditional block of supporters may be Wynne's best shot at staying in power. An NDP Liberal coalition government, hazard the thought. An NDP Conservative coalition government, hazard the thought. I have a feeling that Ontarians will not buy a form of coalition. I have a feeling there will be a clear and decisive winner on the 12th, on Thursday. Now, NDP leader Andrea Howarth says she calls bullspit on the idea she would form a coalition government with progressive conservatives. Now, for days, the Liberals have been hammering Howarth with accusations that she would support the Tories in a minority government scenario, a theme Liberal leader Kathleen Wynne continued to raise at a campaign stop in Kingston today. Premier Kathleen Wynne has committed to balancing the budget by 2017-2018. With the deficit rising to $12.5 billion this year. Now, any such effort will require a number of potentially controversial and disruptive policy choices, hard choices, and honesty does not get a politician elected. Kathleen Wynne has been vague about these choices and policy prescriptions, preferring to attack opposition leader Tim Hudak's conservative plan to balance the budget 12 months earlier. During the recent televised debate, she refused to articulate even a basic outline of how she planned to implement her own plan. The high-level numbers in Ms. Wynne's budget give hints as to how far-reaching Kathleen Wynne's deficit reduction plan would have to be. According to the Liberals, reducing the deficit would require effectively freezing program spending for the next 4 years, a feat that never has been accomplished in modern Ontario history. Moreover, because health, education, and social services are off limits as hot potatoes politically, they have very little maneuvering. Every other ministry would have to cut collectively at least $3 billion, or 6% in spending to 2017-2018. This represents a significant reduction to ministries such as infrastructure, natural resources, Aboriginal affairs, and agriculture and rural affairs. Given that human resources represent 55% of program spending and the effects of inflation, the government will have to take aggressive, austere measures on government jobs to meet the 2017-2018 targets. Yet, union leaders continue to follow Liberals blindly into the abyss. It's almost unbelievable to watch them head into that abyss.
The Voice continues after this. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com or on air live 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
More than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
Yeah, that's me. Well, you remember Edward Snowden? Remember this dude? He's the one that gave up all the national security secrets, the whistleblower, if you will. Well, apparently, the U.S. federal prosecutors have recently held a discussion with the representatives for Edward Snowden on a possible deal involving his return to the United States to face charges of stealing more than 1 million secret NSA documents. Now, this is according to U.S. officials. Snowden is currently in Moscow under Russian government protection after fleeing Hawaii, where he worked in NSA's Kunaya facility. That's the facility for the Hong Kong desk, around about May 2013, I guess he was. Officials have charged him with stealing an estimated 1.7 million documents from NSA.net and the Joint World Intelligence Communication System, otherwise known as JWICS, and providing some material to news outlets. Discussions on Snowden's return apparently were held in the past several weeks between prosecutors in the Justice Department's National Security Division and Plato Cacheres, a longtime Washington defense lawyer, who in the past represented several U.S. spies, including some who reach plea bargains rather than go to trial. So, Edward Snowden may be coming back to American soil to face his accusers. I wonder if he will bring all of the material with him, or will he leave some nasty little time bombs to be released in case something goes drastically wrong. Because at this point in time, I'm sure no person trusts the other. At this point in time, it is in his best interest to make sure he has some alternative methods of survival. I don't think I would walk into the jaws of the enemy without some kind of protection of some kind. Maybe 5 envelopes held by 5 different people. Huh? You remember how that works, right? But who knows? Who knows what will happen with poor Edward Snowden? Will he make a deal? Or will he just fade away into obscurity? And I wonder, how much is that information worth now? How much of the information that he still has in his possession have any true value?
Information supplied by tonight's guest or host remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network or its affiliates. If you wish to respond to a statement, we invite you to call the show live at 347-324-3287 or email vocr2012@gmail.com. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
Look, John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Yep. A heartbeat away from the presidency. Kind of makes you scared a little bit, doesn't it? Well, insurgents have seized Iraq's second largest city in a stunning assault that exposed Iraq's eroding central authority. Al-Qaeda-inspired militants overran much of Mosul on Tuesday, seizing government buildings, pushing out security forces, and capturing military vehicles as thousands of residents fled the second largest city. The rampage by the black banner-waving insurgents was a heavy defeat for Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki as he tried to hold on to power, and highlighted the growing strength of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. The group has been advancing in both Iraq and neighboring Syria, capturing territory in a campaign to set up a militant enclave straddling the borders. Now, there were no immediate estimates of how many people were killed in the assault, but it is a stark reminder of the reversals in Iraq since U.S. forces left in late 2011. The announcement by Barack Obama that if elected he would remove the troops was hailed as a good thing. And the troops were finally removed. Al-Maliki and his team went to work on rebuilding Iraq with a firm foundation left by the West. Unfortunately, ancient rivalries, tribal arguments, religious sects all come into play and begin fighting the nasty war within its own borders. Now, Obama said Al-Qaeda was defeated. Al-Qaeda is not defeated. It is stronger today than it has ever been in history. It is much stronger than it was when they attacked North America with 9/11. It is much stronger than it was when it fought the Russians in Afghanistan, when it was called the Mujahideen. These fighters now have modern weaponry supplied to them by their friends in Libya, who received them to fight the Gaddafi forces from America. American soldiers are now being attacked by their own country's weaponry. And Barack Hussein Obama sits back, hands off Libya, hands off Syria, hands off Iraq, and trying to get out of Afghanistan. As these countries begin to crumble back into lawlessness, back into murder and slaughter of innocent citizens, the West closes their eyes and turns their backs. The West can't afford another war. The last one was expensive enough and probably was a cause for the downfall of the economy around the world. And it was the disengagement of military actions, the saving of potential monies, that probably saved many Western countries from going under. So here we are, troops being withdrawn from the Middle East, and the Middle East beginning to implode. Iran on the verge of a nuclear bomb, stalling the West by negotiations in Geneva, by promising discussion on Iran's nuclear ambitions, and yet at the end of each discussion, both parties come away with very little accomplished. Iran is one of the oldest bartering nations on earth. They are directly on the Silk Road. Thousands of years have been spent in negotiation. And we in the West think we can out-negotiate the negotiator. And yet each week we drag a gaggle of experts back to Geneva to meet with the Iranians, to talk for another week, and at the end of that week we still have nothing. And it continues that way as Iran continues to make strides in its nuclear material and continues to make strides in its guidance systems and its possible ICBM technologies. As they continue to position themselves ready to do what they have threatened to do since almost the beginning of 1947, and that is the dismantling and annihilation of Israel. Israel is sat in the oasis of the Mediterranean, a land that should be at peace, but can't be at peace, because all around them, nudging them closer to the sea, are the enemy, those who wish Israel to be pushed into the sea and annihilated. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Israel is on the brink of war. Once upon a time, England and the United States were their guarantors of safety. But with the pullout of troops out of the Middle East, the ability to protect Israel in a timely fashion will be very, very difficult. And in such, creates an extra concern as to what on earth will we do if someone chooses to go after Israel.
But resist we must. We must They're all jitty about a shutdown.
The Tortis in the race,
then co-author of Hubris,
U2
lead singer Bono,
Fran Drescher,
Siganoi Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanayev,
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Is Mike Muckery
yesterday, Antonin Scalia, Kim Kardashian, and the Republican candidates
for Cairo and Benghazi.
We rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent?
The Environmental Protection Agency
and what sequestration has done.
Yes, good old Al Sharpton. He's always good for a laugh, eh? You know, you can't help but kind of chuckle when you listen to hear him practicing trying to read the teleprompter. It's almost scary to think that this man has the ear to hundreds of thousands, okay, thousands of people on his show. Well, according to Brazil, they're ready. They're ready for the World Cup. Starts on Thursday. Yep, Dilma Rousseff, the president, made a TV address and stated that Brazil is ready. Brazil is ready for the World Cup. Now, I don't know if you've been watching the news much, but I've had the pleasure of seeing, or the unfortunate pleasure of seeing, some photographs of some of the work that is being done at the World Cup. Some of the buildings are atrocious. We thought that Russia had a tough time with the Olympics. That is nothing in comparison to what's happening in Brazil. Firstly, there's a transit strike. Transit have chosen to walk off the job until their needs are heard, which basically cripples Brazil. But never fear, the military are here, and they have guaranteed that traffic will flow normally during the World Cup. Some of the pitches still don't have grass, and some of the television equipment hasn't been installed correctly or has been installed in the wrong place. There's a number of problems with the World Cup. And there is even discussion that possibly somebody got paid off to have the World Cup. Now, we have no idea if that's true or not. It does look like there's something a little fishy. And I'm sure over the next few weeks, few months, more stories will come out, and they'll be able to find out exactly what is going on and what they need to do or what they've done and had to admit to, you know? In Europe, there's some pretty nasty storms running through Europe. 6 dead in Germany after a massive storm flew through there. The North Rhine-Westphalia got hit pretty darn good, if you know the areas of Germany and if you boys that have served over there in Germany. I have a feeling that we're going to hear from Vladimir Putin in the next little while. It is about time for Vladimir to start turning the screws on gas service to Europe. so that he may get what he wants out of the game. Vladimir Putin is without doubt a continued KGB operative. He hasn't changed his mandate one iota, regardless of the changes in Russia. Vladimir Putin still sees the Soviet Union and all of those countries back in the Soviet fold. Vladimir Putin still sees the West as his archenemy. And espionage and spying continues. And in the 21st century, that includes computers. It is confirmed that China and Russia, as well as the United States and the UK, all have divisions of spying run by hackers and experts who continuously probe and search the enemy's networks for intrusion. Quietly, the power companies in North America are attempting to insulate their delivery of electricity. They are attempting to limit the damage that could be caused by knocking out a transformer here and there. In the past, we have been very, very susceptible to that type of damage. And we saw that with the Quebec crisis when Quebec power grid went down, and they took down most of the eastern seaboard. And it took days, actually it took in some areas 2 weeks, to get the full power back on the system. Imagine if that was permanent. Imagine one of the enemies managed to detonate an EMP in North America. Every electronic item, including your vehicles, would be worthless. Every vehicle after 1983, I think it is, would not run, could not run. The electronics would be fried. Is it possible? It is possible. Could it happen? It could happen. But the fine men of Homeland Security and the Canadian Security Services are doing a hell of a job. And I mean a hell of a job. 24 hours a day, keeping us safe so that we can rest assured and guzzle the oil and guzzle the electricity that we so amply need to run our society.
And listen to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
And the good old oil companies, we are expecting the decision for XL within the next 8 days, 8 or 9 days. It is believed that XL is going to go. We do know that the government of Canada have till mid-June to give a go-ahead on the northern pipeline to the west coast, the Kitimat. And there's a good possibility that the eastern pipeline in Canada will be given the nod and approval also. So to the environmentalists and the tree huggers out there, the millions of dollars that were spent by the Tide organization and other organizations determined to prevent Canada from being able to export its oil, it is unfortunate that you lose. Millions of dollars wasted, you lose. And when these pipelines are being built, employment will skyrocket. And when the pipelines are finished and they are loaded with produce, other things will be possible. maybe Kathleen Wynne's high-speed train in Ontario, if she ever finds the money. Or the supposed high-speed train between Calgary and Edmonton, Alberta, if they ever find the money. Whatever will be the outcome will be the outcome. And these organizations that are attempting to stop that outcome should understand the futility of their ways. Progress will go forward, and very little will stop it. It's a juggernaut. Until a product is found to replace oil, until that product is found, we are beholden to finding oil in an ever-increasing capacity to maintain the industrial complex that we've created on Earth. Now, the environmentalists are going to talk about global warming, and it's pretty well assured now that we're warming up anyway. We're not doing much to really hinder that or help it. Our drop in the bucket compared to Mother Nature's grand scheme of things. We're feeling more earthquakes. There's more concern that there are a number of unstable masses. I continue to get stories week after week after week regarding Yellowstone. There's a humongous cauldron underneath Yellowstone that is getting ready to pop like a zit. And that will affect most of the Midwest and some of Canada. And it possibly could even reach the bunker here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. As we don't hope for it, we have to understand that those dangers are all around us. On Sunday, a meteorite cleared through the Earth's space of the size of a football field. Not considered a near miss, but definitely considered of interest, since NASA have been following this inbound for the last 2.5 years. And there are thousands of other inbounds. Whether they make contact with Earth's gravity or not is another matter. Let's hope that we have a long life on this Earth, but remember that in a blink of an eye, could be over. So going back to my comments regarding your children. Something very, very strange is happening. And it is super, super important that you make contact with your kids. Talk to them. Find out where they stand. What do they feel? What is their understanding of life? What are their views? What do they want to do with their life? Talk to them. Make sure they're okay and in a good headspace. Make sure they know they are loved. Make sure you hug them and hold them and let them know that you care and that you will be there for them to protect them as much as possible. And again, maybe it's time to send that special note of thanks off to their teacher. It'll take you 2 minutes. Put the note, write the teacher's name on it, fold it up, put it in your kid's lunch bag and tell them to deliver it to the teacher. Be involved with your kid's security on all levels of life. Know where they go, know what they do, know who they're with. Don't be afraid to be a disciplinarian at times. There are some things that are better known at a later life. And children should be allowed to enjoy their innocence while it's still in their mind. Because once that innocence is lost, the world can become a very crazy place. So as we leave tonight, we do remind you that July the 4th to the 13th, the metropolis known as Calgary will become a frontier town for those 9 days. There will be beer gardens, rodeo, music, fairgrounds, parties, square dancing in the downtown areas. All that called Calgary Stampede. July the 4th to the 13th, the greatest outdoor show on earth. It's a great time. And for the first time in many, many, many years, I actually had the Stampede off. Well, officially. And I'm looking forward to seeing it from a customer's point of view, if you will. And remember, what happens at the Stampede stays at the Stampede. Yep, just like Vegas. Just like Vegas. Except a little bit strange, a little wilder, or most certainly a lot louder.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraJazz Network production.
And we do have to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Can't believe it's an hour already. If you're in Ontario, please, on the 12th, go out and vote. Doesn't matter which party you vote for, just make sure you vote. And to the rest of you, we'll catch you back here next Tuesday in a brand new edition of VOCR Live. Good night now.